steel drum playing. Waking up on the beach, if you know what I'm saying. One more night would be more than alright with me. So hold on, baby, 'cause you got the soul and you know how to use it. Put your hand on my hip, 'cause you know that I lose it. You got my heart racing like there's nothing to it. Falling in love to the beat of the music. We're falling in love to the beat of the music.
This is a special report from ABC News. Iran targets Israel. I'm Michelle Franzen. Israel's Iron Dome lighting up the night sky after Iran launched a wave of missiles and air raid sirens sounding. A U.S. official estimates more than 200 missiles were launched in retaliation for the death of Hezbollah's leader last week in Lebanon. ABC News learning that Iran may be targeting military installations around Tel Aviv. ABC's Ian Pannell is in Beirut.
Israel has been very clear that if Iran attacks Israel, it is going to respond, and the response is going to be very severe. So we just have to wait and see. 99% of the missiles that were fired at Israel back in April were intercepted.
The White House says the president and vice president are receiving briefings on those developments, and the U.S. says it's readied its defenses in the region. In Tel Aviv, Israeli police say a shooting incident earlier left four people dead and others wounded. It's being treated as a terror attack. This is ABC News. California filing a lawsuit against a hospital that allegedly refused to perform an abortion even though the mother's life was at risk.
Anna Nuslock says she was 15 weeks pregnant with twins when she went to Providence St. Joseph severely bleeding after her water broke. She says doctors told her the pregnancy was no longer viable, but they were prohibited from offering an emergency abortion if her twins had a detectable heartbeat and her life was not immediately at risk. Instead, she and her husband were sent to another hospital 12 miles away.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley. The state attorney general is seeking a court order to force that hospital to provide prompt emergency care, including abortion. Some bosses in Germany are making unexpected house calls when workers call out sick. Managers at a Tesla factory are visiting the homes of employees to make sure they're not playing hooky. They say workers are taking advantage of company sick pay. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print everything for my business.
Sure can.
And the quality is guaranteed?
Absolutely.
Plus, you'll beat any price quote. Is that right?
For sure.
How about this one?
We'll beat it.
Can you print menu signs and flyers?
Sure can.
How about blueprints?
No problem.
What about red prints?
Not a real thing.
What if they were?
We'd print them. And they'd look amazing.
Now at Staples, print more, save more. Up to $150 off your print purchase. Ends 11-2. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details and staples.com/price match for in-store price match guarantee.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Now welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Local elected official hopes former President Donald Trump tones down his rhetoric about immigration when he visits the Democratic stronghold of Dane County today. Supervisor David Boettcher's county board district includes Wanakee, where Trump has an afternoon campaign event.
To actually thank them for the work they do and help building our community rather than saying that they're eating cats and dogs. So I'm hoping he's at a facility that has a large population of employees who are minorities, and that he'll thank them and address them rather than attack them.
Trump will be at Dane Manufacturing before heading to a speaking event at Discovery World in Milwaukee. The latest report from the Wisconsin Realtors Association says home prices continue to increase. Association consultant and Marquette Emeritus Economics Professor Dave Clark.
Prices are up about 8%. We do believe, though, that as these mortgage rates come down, we'll once again see those new listings begin to improve again.
Fewer homes on the market. The statewide median rose to $324,000 in August. Sales of existing homes were down just over 4.5% during the last 12 months. Volunteers from Wisconsin are helping in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene.
Laura McGuire with the American Red Cross of Wisconsin says as of Monday, three of the region's emergency response vehicles are deployed to devastated areas in the southeast.
Delivering hot food, comfort, water, maybe a hot coffee, maybe a hug, and just listening to people.
There are 25 Wisconsin volunteers in the region.
Rolling up their sleeves and really providing comfort to people that need it the most.
The best way for you to help? Make a financial donation or an appointment to give blood. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true. We take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Significantly cooler today and crisp, with high temperatures only scraping the mid-60s. We still have breezy winds and a few more clouds filtering in here tonight as lows fall to the mid-40s. There'll be plenty of sunshine tomorrow and pleasant temperatures as we rise to the mid-70s. Paying too much for health insurance? Call 1-800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. Right now, it's 59 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Wisconsin this week at the World Dairy Expo. We'll kick things off with a check of the state of the dairy industry, and we'll get some pointers on how to attract and retain workers on your dairy. All things dairy on today's AgriTalk.
Live from World Dairy Expo via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll begin with a conversation with Phil Plord from EverAg. Then it's the dairy coach, Tom Wall. Directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Laurie.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. And welcome to Madison and the World Dairy Expo. Oh, my God, Davis.
Yeah.
Happening, dude. It's happening. Yeah. And we're here. Mm-hmm. We're here for it. What is it? Day two? Mm-hmm. Day one? Is it day one of the Dairy Expo? Okay, I'm looking at the official right now, Karen Bonert.
Who is, get a ruling?
To get a ruling on it. It is day one, but the shows have been going on. Go ahead and turn her on. The shows have been going on here for a couple of days.
Yeah, it started over the weekend, the junior show. So it is kind of like day 5,000, right?
Exactly. I've been looking at some of the results coming out of the shows. So that's one of the things that makes the World Dairy Expo kind of unique in the ag world is the world's best production animals are here and on display at the World Dairy Expo in Madison. And so we're glad to be here and be part of the event. Like I said, we're going to be talking about what is going on in the state of the dairy industry, what's the condition of the industry right now. And of course, we're talking dairy, so we're going to be talking about some labor issues. A big thank you to S&W Seeds Double Team Sorghum for making this morning's coverage from the World Dairy Expo possible. It's beautiful up here. A little windy, but it's absolutely gorgeous. Yeah.
Well, I bet the leaves are putting on a heck of a show about now, aren't they?
They're starting to. It's 57 degrees up here right now, dude.
That'll do it.
Yeah. So, and the wind is blowing. I wish I could tell you how many combines I saw in the field on the drive from Northeast Iowa over here to South Central Wisconsin yesterday. But boy, oh boy, they are after it and after it big time, man.
Yep.
No doubt.
Yep. Go get them, gang. Safety first. Go get them. You betcha.
That's right. All right, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Sure thing. The National Weather Service is looking for locally heavy rainfall to affect portions of the Mid-Atlantic today as residual tropical moisture moves through that region. For parts of Florida, increasing coverage of showers and thunderstorms may produce heavy rainfall along with warm and humid conditions.
The heat will continue across portions of the west with new records expected. The Plains and Northern Rockies fire weather concerns today.
You know, Chip,
go on, buddy.
I just want to throw the middle of the country into that fire weather concerns for today. It's got to be a red flag day. If you've got a combine in a field or anything in a field, today has got to be a red flag day with the way that the wind is blowing.
Yep, yep. Hurricane Helene's financial toll, Chip, is climbing rapidly, with AccuWeather now estimating total damage and economic loss that could reach up to $160 billion. This significant increase from earlier forecasts positions the storm to rank among the top five costliest in U.S. history. And my big concern goes out to that cotton crop down there, Chip.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And the costs of this, they're not even close to getting a final estimate on what the cost of this storm is going to be. Not based on what I'm hearing. And unfortunately, they've already talked about a death toll north of 120 people, I believe is the number.
That's right.
I heard this morning, and I don't think that they've got all the people counted at this point yet either.
Well, in other news, private exporters reported some daily sales activity, 195,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations for the 24-25 marketing year, and 120,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to unknown destinations during the 24-25 marketing year. I've also got some crop progress and report highlights from USDA's crop progress and condition update as of Sept 29. Corn, 64% good to excellent, 96% dented, 75% mature, 21% harvested. All of those, the harvested and the maturity just slightly ahead of the average. Soybeans, 64% good to excellent, unchanged on the week, 81% dropping leaves, and 26% harvested, well above the average pace. Cotton, 31% good to excellent, down from 37% last week, 72% bolls opening, 20% harvested, and winter wheat, 39% planted, 14% emerged. Chip, crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier trimmed his U.S. soybean yield forecast another half bushel to 51.5 bushels per acre, noting continued dryness in the central and western corn belt and the potential for crop damage due to Hurricane Helene. Cordonier kept his corn yield forecast unchanged at 182.5 bushels per acre.
We had Michael on the show last week, and he had a downside bias at that time, I believe, because of the dry conditions. He still got that downside bias on the corn and soybean crops.
Yep. Well, Chip, Senator J.D. Vance and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz will face off in the vice presidential debate at 9 p.m. Eastern time. That's 8 p.m. corn time. Airing live from New York City, CBS anchors Nora O'Donnell and Margaret Brennan will moderate. And dock workers across 36 major ports on the U.S. East and Gulf Coasts have gone on strike for the first time in nearly five decades, disrupting half the nation's trade volumes. Key issues include wage increases and opposition to automation at ports. A one-week strike could cost the U.S. economy about $2.1 billion, that according to an estimate yesterday from the Anderson Economic Group. Chip, over to you.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's bring Karen Bonert back in here. She is the editor of Farm Journal's Melt.
Hey, Chip, how's it going?
It's the week.
It's the week that, you know, it's the week that we all live for, at least in the dairy world. And it's like a family reunion. I've always said that. Man, today it feels like a big family reunion. As you walk through here, there are so many youth.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, they had showmanship. 500 kids participated in showmanship. When you talk about best of the best, it was even in showmanship. These kids, as you look down the line, I mean, it was hard to pick a winner. I mean, they just brought their A game. And as one judge said, you know, I'd put any of those kids could come show my cows because they just have practice and, you know, have a deep passion, which is exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then the dairy judging contest also
massive.
Happened.
Yeah. And they do so many different levels. It's the college and the junior colleges and FFA and 4-H and they bring teams from all over the United States.
Yeah. Yeah, all over the world.
And it's competitive.
Yeah.
Super, super competitive. Oh, so
absolutely.
You talk about best of the best. We're here in the trade show. As you walk through, I mean, all of these exhibitors are trying to make dairy producers money, help them make them more efficient. There's a lot of innovation and technology. It's exciting.
If the average dairy producer out there is not in Madison this week, what are they missing out on the most?
Really, it's the networking, I would say. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's you hear what somebody else is doing or something that you've been pondering. As we said, as we drove up here, there was combines all over, but I think we have a stretch of really nice weather. So I would encourage park the combine to go do that another day and come here for Ecclesia Day. I don't think you ever walk away disappointed that you were here.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, I mean, there's some good eats while you're here.
Well, too. If you don't get the good eats, that's your own problem. So when I'm done here, I'm going to go get my friends here at AgriTalk and some grilled cheese and a milkshake. Because if you're in America's Dairyland, you better have the dairy treats.
That's exactly right. Karen, we'll be talking to you all week.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks,
you
Jeff.
You bet. Karen Bonert, she is the editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Okay, coming up next, we're going to cover something that Karen covered extensively at DairyHerd.com, and that is the state of the dairy industry. Phil Plord from EverAg is joining us next.
There's no shortage of, quote, dairy alternatives. But real dairy products still reign supreme with 21 times the sales of plant-based alternatives. More than 96% of U.S. households bought real dairy in 2023. And we moved a record 233.4 billion milk equivalent pounds. Your Dairy Checkoff helps to earn and maintain this sort of trust and drive demand for real dairy products. And that's making every drop count. Learn more at usdairy.com.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And 4-seed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
What's the first?
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sunstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sunstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sunstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sunstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the World Dairy Expo up in Madison, Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining us. And a big thank you to S&W Seeds Double Team Sorghum for making our coverage this morning possible. And speaking of that, let's go ahead and make time for this industry spotlight. Joining us now, Brent Johnson, S&W Seeds, double team as well. Brent, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
Doing well, Chip. Thank you.
Good, good, good. So talk to me. We were just talking a little bit about what a beautiful fall we're dealing with. Great. But there are some challenges that guys are dealing with out there.
There are. You know, it's been really unseasonably warm, unseasonably dry. The fall is moving along at a great clip. You know, one of the, as we look at particularly silage, seeing a big shift toward sorghum silage, which is one of the areas we specialize in. But you know, growers are, even though it's been dry lately, growers are managing inputs, particularly water inputs. You get into some of the areas in the U.S., I think of the Ogallala Aquifer, where water management has become really the topic. Silage for sorghum becoming a growing market for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we recently introduced a product that is, you're able to spray for over-the-top grass control.
Okay.
And that system's called Double Team. So bringing solutions to growers to help feed livestock, regardless of water and moisture.
Okay, so the sorghum yield in a silage operation, how similar is it to corn?
Yeah, in a dry land situation, it might be even a little higher.
Really?
In irrigated, you know, maybe 80% of corn silage. The feedability or the feed test might be similar, maybe a little lower in in starch levels. But growers are dairies, beef. They're figuring out where to feed this within their ration sorghum silage.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a heck of a good alternative is what I'm hearing, especially, you know, maybe we are getting into a pattern of drier conditions. And if we are, you better take a look at the sorghum.
Particularly in these areas that are again, water limited. It's a crop that you can reduce inputs. So you're reducing your risk, spreading it out on a cost per acre basis. With some of the same upside on yields.
So. All right, Brent, you're going to come back at the end of the show. I'm looking forward to continuing the conversation. Where can listeners go for more information?
They can check out swseedco.com or doubleteamsorghum.com. Thank you.
swseedco.com. All right, Brent Johnson, VP Sales and Marketing in the Americas for S&W Seed Company. We'll talk to Brent more at the end of the show. All right. Right now, let's bring in Phil Floyd. He is the head of market intelligence at EverAg. He joins us right now. Phil, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Good, good, good. So here we are at the World Dairy Expo, and I know that you worked with Karen on the State of the Dairy Industry report. Start on the production side of things here, I guess, Phil. Is there much movement on the production side, or is that kind of the stable part of the industry?
I would say there's some movement, and it's certainly the most intriguing side of the industry at the moment because, you know, on the back of poor economics in 2022, lingering into 2023, you know, we've seen milk production below year prior levels now for more than a year. But the margin in August was the smallest it's been.
Okay.
And in the meantime, we've shifted the prices to being quite high. And the profit potential on the table for dairy producers for the next 12 months is as good as it's ever been in terms of the 12-month forward look. So, you know, there's a promise, if you will, you know, historically more money's made more milk. And so there's, you know, we see the wheels turning in a way that should generate more milk production in the months ahead. But there's a big but in the story.
Okay. Okay.
And that's, we don't really have the animals.
Yeah.
You know, beef on dairy breeding in particular has, you know, narrowed up the pool of available replacements, and they're expensive and fewer in number. And so I think there's a big question around, you know, everything we've ever seen historically says more money makes more milk, but you kind of need the cows to get the job done. And
right.
So that's sort of the mental gymnastics analysts are doing today.
Yeah, Phil, as I understand it, the beef on dairy genetics, one of the things that it's done is there's enough heifers out there, dairy heifers out there to replace cows that are being culled, but there's not enough heifers out there for the expansion. Is that accurate?
I mean, loosely speaking, yeah. I mean, I think some of the larger operators who have planned expansions, you know, they have, I don't think they're going to wake up 3 days before they open the new farm and say, oh, wait, I need heifers. So I think that some of those pipelines are full. But yeah, I think that, you know, 5-7 years ago, with heifer supplies were so abundant, you know, they were available and cheap. So you didn't, you know, if you woke up this morning and said, hey, I want to add 20 cows, it wasn't a big deal. Or even 2,000 cows maybe. But today, you know, those animals are harder to find. So yeah, I don't think we're cutting into our extension of stability on cow numbers.
Okay.
We're not eating into that, but it's going to be harder to grow with fewer animals.
Okay. So how is the demand reacting? How is demand balanced against the supply that's in the market right now? Is it fairly well balanced, or are we starting to fall a little short on the production side?
I think we fell a little short on the production side this summer, finally. And you'd have guessed that in a down milk production environment, it would have happened sooner.
Yeah.
But the reality is that domestic demand has been mediocre at best for several months in the aggregate. There's bright spots. But in the aggregate, you know, cheese demand through July, domestic demand up 0.3%, not too exciting. Butter a little bit better than that. Fluid milk is up a little bit, which is sort of an interesting story. But overall, and given the sort of a constrained consumer environment reacting to inflation, high prices, other challenges, we just not have seen demand grow all that much. So minus 0.5% milk production was actually kind of on the end, you know, close to too much for a while. We shifted lower this summer with the heat and the avian influenza. So I think that the balance, you know, the demand side of the equation has been a little shaky domestically. We're catching a break internationally today, which is very helpful.
All right. We're talking with Phil Plourd, head of market intelligence at EverAg. Let's stay on demand here, Phil. Some of the variables that we need to watch, is demand going to be a positive for this market and for margins through the end of the year?
Oh, I think we're, you know, it's weird. It's not great, but it's not falling apart. So I think we're fine.
Okay.
But all of a sudden you've gone from a, you know, moderate-ish price environment to, you know, butter at whatever, $3.10 a pound and barrel cheddar hitting record highs. And so, you know, high prices don't help that environment, but nothing's going to happen in a bad way.
Okay.
Between now and the year end.
So is there going to be a production response? Are guys going to pour some concrete and add some cows?
Well, I think there's some that's already in the mix because we have some major expansions. You know, you have in South Dakota, you have Valley Queen Cheese adding 3 million pounds of milk per day. There's the Dodge City, Kansas Hillmar plant, which the anecdotal reports say should be taking their first loads of milk before too long. And so there's some infrastructure that was sort of on the table, if you will, you know, for that. Beyond that, we don't hear of a whole lot. The Eastern United States, there's generally somewhat more enthusiasm there because there's different plant projects going on there. I don't think we're seeing big expansions outside of the normal, you know, outside of those those sort of big projects and maybe some of the larger operators who are always in the mind to expand.
Right.
I don't think we're saying, hey, I'm going to go build a new barn and add 1,000 cows and we're going to start tomorrow. I don't think we're seeing a ton of that.
Okay. All right. You're making me optimistic about profitability in the industry here for an extended period of time. Is that safe to say?
I'm always cautious because I think that, you know, the cost side of the equation is in really good shape, right? I don't, you know, we're going to have a big corn crop. You know, there could be some noise around should December corn be 410, 420, or 380, but we're not talking $6 corn, right? We're not talking $500 soybean meal. So the cost side, I think, is in good shape. So that's helping. On the income side, I think that we're kind of on the high side right now, but there's a good chance that when we see seasonal unwinding of these markets, that the floors are higher than we would have even guessed a few months ago. And that's principally driven by Europe, believe it or not.
Okay. All right. Real quick, like 20 seconds. What do we want to be looking at on risk management, Phil?
Our attitude has been buy the insurance and be bullish because the margins are really good.
Yeah, that was my thought exactly as we were going through that conversation. Phil, thank you so much for the conversation. I really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Phil Plourd, head of market intelligence at EverAg. We're right here at the World Dairy Expo. Tom Wall, the dairy coach, is up next here on AgriTalk.
What's a corn farmer's favorite dog? a husky.
Some things shouldn't be flat. But with GHX, you can maximize your acres with one flat price. While other brands sell by the bag, we sell seed by the acre to maximize your yield and profit potential. Our custom seed recommendations combine extensive product characterization and agronomic expertise to get the right product, population, and placement, all for one flat price per acre. Learn how at ghxseed.com/connect.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground, because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously, and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
Farmers, it's harvest time, and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa Know-How from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. Market prices courtesy of Bar Chart. August milk down 23 to 22.19. September down 20 to 22.50. October down 21 to 22.80. November milk down 10, also at 22.80. Cattle markets moving sharply lower with the double and triple-digit losses. A risk-off type of trade today on recession and demand fears. Hog markets so higher in the nearby months, tightening hog supplies, and an African swine fever outbreak in Germany supporting U.S. prices in the nearbys. August live cattle down 92 cents to 133.67. August feeder cattle down $1.45 to 173.05. July hogs sell up $1.22 to 110.82. Chicago Board of Trade double-digit losses in most of the grain contracts as the funds continue their long liquidation on recession fears. Outside markets sharply lower. The stock market and crude oil markets sharply lower. That all pressuring the grains today. July corn down 13 and three quarters to 740 and three quarters. New crop down 22 and a half to 585. July beans down 7.5 to 16, 18 and a half. New crop down 48 and a half to 1346 and three quarters. Chicago wheat July down 21 and a quarter to 810. December down 23 and a quarter to 839 and a quarter. Minneapolis wheat September down 34 and a half to 913 and a half. March down 31 and a half to 944 and a half. With markets, I'm Brian Winnikins.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
When it comes to planting, we know that it takes more than just seed and soil. It's Matthew here with Bluff Country Feed and Seed, and I know that it takes quality seed, fertilizer, as well as expertise. That is how you build a proper foundation and lay down your roots. This is exactly why we can be your experts, because we are rooted here locally. We know Bluff Country because we live here with you. Strong roots lead to a strong business and a thriving community. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. I don't know what you're thinking, so call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back to the World Dairy Expo in Madison, Wisconsin. Big thank you to S&W Seeds Double Team Sorghum for making our coverage from the World Dairy Expo possible here this morning. Tom Wall, the dairy coach, he joins us right now. Tom, it's good to see you. How are you?
Likewise, great. Thanks for having me.
Good. Talk to me about the dairy coach. What is it?
Yeah, dairy coach. We've been helping dairies across the country for the last 24 years. I really get a handle on their employee management plan. To put together systems to really implement everything that they need to do, what they want to get from their employees so that they're engaged and they stick around.
All right. So Is this technical services or is this coaching in how to be better managers and how to be better employees?
Yeah, it's the latter. It's all about the soft skills. It's all about communication, connection, clarification. A lot of the stuff that we do, it really starts with just having clear expectations so everybody knows what to do. And then once they know what to do, everybody's on the same page and we can actually get results.
Okay.
That's what we do.
How do you do this?
I ask myself the same question every day.
Because, you know, I'm not saying anything bad about producers out there, but when it comes to the soft side of the business, as you called it, they need a lot of coaching in most cases.
You know, we all do. I've got a team of 10, right?
That's right.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, there's emotions involved all the time and everybody really cares. Long days, it pushes people to the edge. And then there's typically a language barrier. So there's just so many challenges coming at dairy farmers. And the fact that maybe they didn't get into dairy to be employee manager or to be bosses, to be employee managers. They got in for the love of livestock, for tractors, for all the things that they signed up. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And now everything's shifted 10, 20, 30 years ago. And now we have to learn a whole new skill set. But that's the biggest thing, Chip. Management leadership, it's learnable. It's a skill set that we can all learn. It's the more we practice it, the better we get. The more we make mistakes, the more we learn. So it's just every day is another classroom opportunity.
Okay. Yeah. There's got to be something that if you can get over this hump, you can start making real progress with the guys that you're working with. What is that hump?
For me, I think the biggest hump is just the clarification. There are so many people. We've got systems for everything, whether it's Repro, Herd Health. We've got systems for literally everything. And with employees, we just wing it. We hire people with no plan. We get them started with no plan. We get them through their entire entire path of employment, no plan. So the fact that we don't have systems for one of the hardest jobs on the farm, that's the biggest hump. Once we take the time, and usually it's one of those things that we'll do in the winter because now we have a little more time. But if we don't get at it at some point, we just keep kicking it down the road and we never get over that hump because we never put the systems together.
You know, and I can understand this with hired employees that you hire them with a certain set of expectations. But this has got to apply to family and people that you grew up with, people that you raised.
Yeah.
And because I've seen it so many times, the expectation is that because Johnny watched you plant corn for the last 25 years, Johnny knows how to plant corn.
Yeah.
That isn't always the case, is it?
No. And you know, I'm glad you point that out. Some of the biggest challenges are within the family. It's not the hired help. Hired help people, the guys who are coming as employees, they know that the boss is going to set the tone. They're going to have to listen because they could lose their job. But if your last name's on the building, there's a lot more long-term expectations that this is just how it's going to be. And I live here. I work here. It's my farm. Without having all those distinct conversations to say, look, let's draw a line here between the family and the business, because this family business needs some delineation between, you know, the lifetime relationships. I've worked with a lot of family farms. If we could just have that tough conversation, which most of us can't, to just have that tough conversation, say, hey, we know this works for our employees. Let's make it work for us too. Mm-hmm. There's no reason that we shouldn't have job descriptions for all the family members.
Exactly.
Right? We should have a pay scale for all the family members.
Exactly.
Because otherwise we just show up and say, hey, you know, I want this much money.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I want this much money.
Was supposed to do that.
Yeah. And that too, the responsibility of holding people accountable. All those things, you know, for me, it's clarity, accountability, and discipline. And if we don't have the clarity and we don't have the accountability, how do we expect to be disciplined every day?
If you expect employees to give you what you need, which is getting the job done.
Yeah.
Performance. Exactly. You got to show them the respect that they deserve and give them the time, the tools, and the information that they need to get that job done. Why do we? There's a lot of guys that think it. In some cases, it's a secret what they're supposed to be doing out there.
You know, it's funny. Like if you think back to school, if your teacher would have just showed up with a test and said, "This is all going to be on the test. Here's all the questions. Here's all the answers. Now just show up on the day and make it happen."
Right.
We would have loved school if it was that easy, right?
Right.
In work, we want to do that. There's no test. It's like we want everybody to ace every day. So here's all the questions. Here's all the answers. Just show up in the morning on time and do exactly what everything we ask. Here's how to do it. And so often we don't take the time to do that. And there's a lot of people guessing every day what the questions are and what the answers should be.
Okay. Employee handbook. Got to have it.
Yeah, you know, it's an insurance policy is really all it is. It's because we never reference it until there's a problem.
Yeah, so, that's right.
You know, like, we don't need insurance until there's a fire.
Yeah.
So the idea, like, until we have an issue, what are we going to refer back to say that this was the expectation all along?
Yeah.
So without that employee handbook, nobody really knows what's in it until there's a problem.
Yeah.
And then we go back and we read through it.
Yep. Sense of ownership. Even if your name is on the barn, you still, as the established generation in an operation, you still have to help everybody else develop that sense of ownership in the operation, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's tough when a lot of employees, and maybe less now, but there's still a lot of employees who, it's a job. I mean, it's always just a job. Yeah. For the owner, it's a life, it's a lifestyle, it's a lifetime of a career. But for employees, it is easy to say, you know, I could just leave today. I don't even need to give a notice and find another job or replacement job down the road and might even be more money. So it's tough to instill some of that ownership mentality in people who aren't owners. It just is.
So you brought up something there that I wanted to get to here eventually. How do you figure out what you're going to pay these guys?
You know, I think it's really just market driven. It really is, because all the neighbors, everybody kind of knows what people are making. I'm a little out of it right now because it's moved quite a bit from all over the country. It's been moving. And you kind of, right now it's an employee's market.
Yeah.
It's moved a lot. I remember when $10 was a really good hourly rate, and then $12 was a really good hourly rate. And now it just keeps moving, as we all know, post pandemic.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's from the employer's point of view. What about the employee? How do they make themselves more valuable to the operation?
Yeah, what I've always coached with the employees is show up, do the work, you will be recognized. And if you're not, do it again. And if you're not, somebody else will recognize you down the road.
Yeah.
You just keep doing what's right. It's so easy to get discouraged when you're not being recognized. It's so easy to be discouraged when you're not getting paid what you think you're worth. At some point, you're going to make a decision if the boss doesn't.
Yeah.
But I always told the guys, you know what's right. Just keep doing what's right. If nothing else, you're going to stick it out and you're going to end up with good results. I was just texting a guy this morning, and he's in Sheboygan Falls. He used to tell all these guys the same thing. Don't bounce around for a quarter. Don't bounce around for 50 cents. Now all these guys have been around for like 8-10 years. I know how much, you know, we talk about wages and they're all doing really well because they stuck it out. They took his advice. Poncho's been a manager for, I don't know, 10, 15 years, and he owns a house. He runs the farm.
Yeah.
Because he told these guys, it's all about commitment, dedication, and just keep doing what's right. Well, you'll be recognized.
Right.
So
right.
It works.
Well, the editors at the Farm Journal Livestock Books are talking about the importance of those, the value in the employees out there, and you know, barn heroes. And Karen's got the Employee of the Year Award or something like
the
that.
Employee Excellence.
Yeah. Employee Excellence Award.
How many chefs out there, like Tom knows, I mean, that who have trust the process and who have stuck it out. And these stories of them working for last year, Employee Excellent winner had been on that farm for 34 years.
Wow.
You know, started the relief milker and worked up and making all the decision. And it's just, it's loyalty, but also just doing the right thing. And I love what you said, doing the right thing and you will be recognized. It all works out, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But to be the employee of the month, don't you have to step up a little bit if you're going to get that parking spot?
Yeah, you do. You got to do everything.
What I say to my kids is half the success is showing up. So first of all, you want them to show up to work on time every day.
Yeah.
And then if you know how to roll up your sleeves and work hard, it'll all work out in your favor.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. So you said you've got a team of 10.
Yeah.
Tell me about the team.
Yeah. So my biggest focus right now, we've created a software program to support basically for 20 years, I was doing this dairy coach day in, day out, and always wished that we had a software program to help manage employees. We get simple questions like, hey, when's my next review? How much vacation do I have left? When, you know, my last raise, I think it's been 3 years. Managers couldn't even check. They couldn't even like answer these simple questions because they didn't have access to this. They had to go to the file cabinet in the office on the 2 days that the office manager is in there because it's a part-time position. So you got all these employees in an employee meeting or just walking through the barns asking questions and nobody has access to it. And then there's all these, it feels like disrespect because I ask a question to my boss. He says he's going to get back to me. He doesn't. I ask him again. He forgets. And it just, although he's really nice to me and respectful, when I need something, he seems to ignore me. And I, don't necessarily understand how busy he is. I don't necessarily understand how small of an issue my little question is in his big world. So now in the idea of engagement and ownership, how is it possible for me when I get treated like that, not on purpose, right?
Yeah.
But I walk around thinking, okay, he doesn't care about me, or she doesn't care that I need this answer because my wife and I are trying to plan a vacation and we need some time off around this family event. These owners had no access. So we created a software program, back to that point, to your question. So we basically, it's a whole HR management with a time clock and the whole deal. So my team is programmers, quality design, the whole deal to make a software program.
Tom, this has been a cool conversation.
Likewise. Thank you
so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Tom Wall, the dairy coach, live here at the World Dairy Expo, talking about some labor issues, attracting, retaining, and respect between the employers and the employees. We're going to learn more from the guys at S&W Seed, Double Team Sorghum, next.
Hi, I'm Paul.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a micro-epoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The micro-epoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Podcast featuring Down and Dirty Agronomic Science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Here's a highlight of our latest episode.
I would not recommend to the farmer that he cut back on P and K for a number of consecutive years, because that then starts to deplete the soil. Then you're going to start suffering yield increases. And in order to bring that soil back to where you want it to be is going to be even more expensive, because it's going to take more, larger applications to get back to that fertility level that we want to maintain. So there may be cases where, back to your direct question, where we can reduce those applications in the short term without suffering, if we've done a good job with soil fertility, but not if we have low testing soils. If we have not maintained soil fertility, then it's very difficult to cut back without directly impacting yield, and that's not what you want to do, because that starts to cut into profit. So that's kind of my position on that. I like the idea of maintaining an adequate soil test. I don't need excess, but maintaining a kind of soil test that gives me that flexibility to use that bank when I need to.
Yeah, I agree 100%. That has been the Iowa State philosophy since the 50s, you know, really. And I have just continued that. See, it is very important. That's why we define very clearly what do we mean by that category that we recommend reposition, application and removal.
If you'd like to dig deeper, listen to the full episode on your favorite streaming site or on our website, nutrien-economicswithak.com. and stay up to date with the latest crop nutrition research and news to help you make better business decisions. New episodes of The Dirt drop every Tuesday, so be sure to tune in weekly.
Always up early, always getting the job done, always working as hard as you can, always pushing for more, because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand, never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
For some farmers, soybeans are on their mind 24/7. If you're all about the beans, then Asgrow brand is all about you. That's why we've dedicated ourselves to developing truly localized products. Products with leading genetics and top-tier weed management. Products that maximize the profit potential on every acre you've got. You're serious about soybeans, and we're serious about your success. Visit Asgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the World Dairy Expo in Madison, Wisconsin. Glad that you are joining us, and a big thank you to S&W Seeds Double Team Sorghum for making our coverage from the World Dairy Expo possible. Brent Johnson, VP Sales and Marketing in the Americas for S&W Seed Company, joins us again right now. Brent, it's good to talk to you again.
Good to see you.
All right. We talked a little bit about the challenges earlier in the show. We talked a little bit about the challenges and some of the advantages that sorghum is bringing to the production side of things. But it's managing those inputs is the number one thing on the list, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on the what we call the marginal acre, right? So growers, they have a higher risk of getting high yields. It's a great opportunity to reduce inputs on a per acre basis. You know, sorghum's always had that, conventional sorghum's always had this alternative, right? Whether it be for forage or grain. One of the big differences is that 3 years ago, we launched herbicide tolerance into the market. There's two other companies that had been in the marketplace that launched 1 year prior to us. But over the last 3 years, we've had some steady gains. We're now about 10% of the U.S. Grain sorghum acres with the trait called Double Team, which is a combination of our DT traded hybrids, followed by First Act, which is the product that you spray over the top for grass control. So sorghum is a grass, naturally limited products to spray over the top to control grasses. But this has been where we've really sort of modernizing sorghum as a crop and trying to catch up with corn, soybeans, other major crops where those herbicide tolerant options have been available for, 20, 25 years, right?
Yep. And the performance, talk to me about the performance on those traits.
Yeah. So, we brought them into some of our elite genetics. And so, we expect high yields regardless of whether there's weed control or weed control issues or not. So we put them in both sprayed and unsprayed trials. Where we really see the benefit is you get into these areas where grass takes over, your pre-emerge didn't hold, and now you have a tool to come back and spray over the top. We've done three separate studies in Western Kansas, Eastern Colorado, where we're seeing up to 24 bushel increase in grain sorghum yields by having the ability to come in and spray over the top. So it's about protecting yield potential in those areas.
I was just going to say, okay, One of the things about sorghum is that it can handle just about anything out there. All right. Dry conditions, weedy conditions, it's still going to produce a crop of some kind. Why is the weed control so important on sorghum?
Yeah. Well, it's grown in areas where typically water either has been or will always be a limiting factor, right?
Yep.
So it's grown in some of the toughest, nastiest conditions of farmland in the Great Plains. Reducing weed competition and maximizing every inch of water that falls on that soil becomes paramount, right? And so, again, having this ability to now having a tool to come in and spray after you've had weed escapes has really been beneficial to growers. We got some great responses from customers. You know, I was with a grower, riding with a grower that was harvesting number two yellow corn. I wish it had been grain sorghum, but it wasn't. But it was great, great to talk to a customer. He also plants grain sorghum. Mm-hmm. Now he uses grain sorghum in his dry land. He's putting his corn on his irrigated. Yeah. I peeked over at the monitor. He's harvesting 200 it creeped up to 265 bushel grain irrigated corn in western Kansas, right? So I did ask him. I said, I know you're using sorghum on dry land. What if you put the same kind of high manage inputs into grain sorghum? What do you think these yields could be, right? And it's not the 90 to 110 or 20 bushel that we see on dry land. But he said, you know, we'll go up over 200 if we chose to do that. Now, it's a better use of the water. I understand that. But again, in those areas where water is a limiting factor, the ability to spray over the top has been a great tool for
growers. Well, yeah, absolutely. And part of the problem is the production hit that you're going to take if you try to grow dry land corn out there.
Yeah.
So talk to me about the alfalfa seed that's available through S&W.
Yeah. So, you know, S&W seed is, we're an international company. Mm-hmm. We're based here in the U.S., basic in both sorghum and alfalfa. So mm-hmm. we're, products that we develop, research and produce, on our own. We're bringing those to market in both our, S&W alfalfa brand, our sorghum partner brand. And then we also license products, to companies around the U.S. We have 19 different licensees with the double team trait this year, which puts us right on a pathway over our 5 and 10 year plans. But you know, we're this week we're talking to primarily dairy producers here, right, mm-hmm. at the World Dairy Expo, and it's really about we call it the total feed solutions. So we have the alfalfa crop, right, for growers that are looking for a perennial, and we're on a full gambit of both dormant and all the way up to non dormant 10. So we can cover anyone who's looking for two or three cuts up here in the north to up to 9 or 10 cuts in Arizona.
Yeah.
We cover a full spectrum there. And then, you know, one of the areas we've seen a growth in is annual forages. So, you know, alfalfa acres have continually taken a hit over the last 20 years, declining acres. I think the last USDA report had around 15.5 million alfalfa acres in the U.S. So we're down to record lows that we haven't seen since the 40s. And one of the primary reasons is the momentum of annual forages. And that's where we see products like sorghum sedan or sedan sedan, forage sorghum for silage, where growers get one cut consistent forage throughout the year rather than the multiple cuts.
Okay. All right, real quick, like 45 seconds. Talk to me about what's in the pipeline at S&W.
Yeah, so this year we're gonna we're now harvesting what will be the industry's first prussic acid free sorghum sedan. So what that'll do is give growers, grazers primarily, but people that are maybe looking for a cut of sorghum sedan grass and then want to come in and graze late in the fall, we're gonna remove prussic acid from the plant. There's no risk of having any animal safety issues after a frost. And that's we're going to launch that next spring. So.
Outstanding. Brent, it's good to talk to you. I appreciate you.
Always good, Chip. Thank you.
You bet. And I appreciate your sponsorship of AgriTalk here at the World Dairy
Expo. Have a great
week, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. You can learn more. Go to www.doubleteamsorghum.com or go to www.swseedco.com to learn more about it. We're going to be right back here at the World Dairy Expo this afternoon. Stop on back here on AgriTalk.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has an exclusive rate plan just for you. Right now, get two lines of talk, text, and data for just $30 a line. That's a 45% savings versus Verizon and AT&T. Plus, you can get one of the latest 5G phones free when you add a line. That's right, a free 5G phone. Experience all this and more on America's largest 5G network. So why wait?